Prince Lev Nikolaevich Myshkin returns to Russia after years in a Swiss sanatorium where he was treated for epilepsy. Aboard the train to St. Petersburg, this gentle, fair-haired man with childlike blue eyes meets the passionate merchant son Parfen Rogozhin, who speaks obsessively about a beautiful woman named Nastasya Filipovna. This chance encounter sets the stage for the tragedy to come. Despite his noble lineage, Myshkin arrives nearly penniless, planning to seek help from distant relatives, the Epanchin family. His otherworldly innocence immediately marks him as different. He speaks with disarming honesty, shows profound empathy for others' suffering, and lacks the social artifice that oils the wheels of Russian high society. Yet this idiot, as others call him, possesses a spiritual clarity that both attracts and disturbs those he meets. Through Myshkin's eyes, we see a society consumed by materialism, vanity, and moral hypocrisy. A world where genuine goodness becomes a liability rather than a virtue. What happens when perfect innocence confronts a world that can neither accept nor understand it? At the Epanchin household, Myshkin's guileless manner wins over the skeptical General Epanchin, who offers him a position and lodging with the Ivolgin family. The general's wife, from the Myshkin lineage, oversees their three daughters, Alexandra, Adelaida, and Aglaya, the family's treasure. When shown a portrait of the beautiful Nastasya Filipovna, the woman Rogozhin mentioned, Myshkin immediately perceives the torment behind her beauty. Asked if he would marry her, he declines due to his illness. About Rogozhin's intentions, he prophetically declares that Rogozhin would marry her tomorrow and murder her in a week, words that make Ganya Ivolgin, who hopes to marry Nastasya himself, shudder violently. Myshkin's perception is unsettling because he sees through social facades to underlying truths. His assessment of Nastasya's character and Rogozhin's dangerous passion reveals wisdom beyond conventional intelligence. He reads souls rather than appearances. This spiritual insight, combined with his complete lack of guile, makes him both magnetic and disturbing to a society built on carefully maintained illusions. Nastasya Filipovna stands at the center of competing desires and schemes. Orphaned and later seduced by her guardian Totski, she becomes a pawn in his marriage plans involving the Epanchin family. Totski and General Epanchin arrange for Ganya Ivolgin to marry her with a substantial dowry. Her beauty serves as both power and curse. Men desire her while condemning her fallen status. At the Ivolgin home, Rogozhin disrupts proceedings by offering 100,000 rubles for Nastasya. When Ganya attempts to strike his sister for insulting Nastasya, Myshkin intercepts the blow, earning everyone's respect. At her birthday celebration, Nastasya orchestrates a game of confessions that exposes society's moral corruption. When she asks Myshkin if she should marry Ganya, his simple no moves her deeply. She calls him the first honest person she's met. The evening climaxes with the newly wealthy Myshkin offering to marry Nastasya himself, claiming her suffering has purified her. Torn between his redemptive love and Rogozhin's destructive passion, she chooses Rogozhin, crying, "I am not the same as you." With his newfound wealth, Myshkin settles in Pavlovsk for summer, becoming an object of curiosity. He grows close to the Epanchin family, particularly Aglaya, who alternates between mockery and affection. His epilepsy, symbolizing both his connection to higher truth and social dysfunction, complicates his standing. After a seizure at the Epanchin's party, public opinion about him splits. Hippolyte, a dying young man, attempts suicide at Myshkin's villa with an unloaded pistol, a tragicomic scene revealing the novel's existential despair. Meanwhile, Myshkin's relationship with Aglaya deepens when she reveals that Nastasya writes to her daily, urging her to marry the prince while claiming to love Aglaya herself. Society both admires and rejects Myshkin, as it does all prophetic figures. His goodness attracts people, yet his inability to navigate social conventions and tendency to speak uncomfortable truths marks him as an outsider. He becomes a mirror reflecting others' moral failings, inevitably breeding resentment. Despite his wealth and title, he remains fundamentally alien to the society he has entered. The novel reaches its philosophical core when Aglaya demands Mishkin accompany her to meet Nastasya. Their confrontation turns hostile, with Aglaya accusing Nastasya of loving her shame more than the prince. When Nastasya forces him to choose between them, Mishkin only murmurs to Aglaya, "How can you? She is so unhappy." Aglaya flees in anguish while Nastasya collapses into his arms. Mishkin becomes engaged to Nastasya, though his behavior grows erratic. At the altar, Nastasya spots Rogozhin, rushes to him crying, "Save me," and they flee together. The prince receives this news with philosophical calm. In her state, it is quite consistent with the natural order of things. Mishkin's choice embodies the novel's central tragedy. He responds not to social convention, but to suffering, compelled by Nastasya's greater pain, even as he loves Aglaya. In choosing compassion over romantic fulfillment, he fulfills his Christ-like nature while ensuring his own destruction. Nastasya's flight reveals her inability to accept redemption. She chooses destruction because she cannot believe herself worthy of happiness. The prince travels to St. Petersburg, seeking Nastasya at Rogozhin's house. After evasive encounters, they finally meet, with Rogozhin instructing him to walk on the opposite side of the street. Inside, Rogozhin reveals Nastasya lies dead behind a curtain, murdered by his hand. The knife only went in a couple of inches with barely any blood. They make beds beside the curtain, agreeing to keep her close and tell no one. Throughout the night, Rogozhin occasionally bursts into inappropriate laughter, recalling moments with Nastasya. By morning, the prince lies with his face against Rogozhin's, tears flowing, stroking his hair in comfort. When people eventually break in, they find Rogozhin unconscious with fever and the prince unresponsive, returned to his idiot state. This scene fulfills the novel's tragic trajectory. Their vigil becomes a pieta, united in love for a woman neither could save. The prince's regression represents his spiritual mission's failure in a corrupt world. His compassion for Rogozhin embodies ultimate Christian forgiveness, yet this very perfection renders him unable to function in society. Rogozhin serves 15 years in Siberia, while the prince returns to Switzerland, likely permanently damaged. Aglaya marries a Polish count unwisely, falling into religious fanaticism and family estrangement. The Epanchins eventually visit the prince, appreciating Evgeny Pavlovich's kindness toward him. The prince's regression suggests spiritual purity cannot survive in a corrupt world, yet his influence endures through the connections he formed between previously unrelated characters. Dostoevsky presents a haunting paradox. Society needs figures like Prince Mishkin, but cannot sustain them. His failure isn't personal, but universal. The tragedy of a world that recognizes goodness only after destroying it. In our cynical age, this message holds particular relevance. Perhaps we must each carry a fragment of the prince's compassion, knowing its perfect expression remains unattainable. In a society that mistakes innocence for idiocy, the truly good person will always appear foolish. Yet without such fools, we lose our connection to what might ultimately redeem us.